Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your boom. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey, hey girls. Welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
And it's start of the month, hun.
Ooh.
Best time to sign up to our Patreon. Girls, if you are... So, if you discovered us during Quarka, you've binged all 145, soon to be 146 episodes of It Girls, and you are craving some more, this is the best time of the month to go sign up to our Patreon, where you get access to X Girls, which is our supplementary, extra, juicy, gorgeous podcast. We talk about sex a lot on there. We talk about more dating. We talk about taboo topics.
Our personal lives. Last week, we spoke about me getting back into the dating scene.
Mm-hmm.
Some shit that went down.
We also spoke about teen disco stories this
that
month.
That was so fun. So, we have a burner phone as well. So,
yes.
Like, X Girls is like... its own thing.
Yes.
It's a secret club that you either opt in or opt out of.
Yeah.
And if you're in, you get access to all the catalog of podcasts we've done over the past year and a half.
A year, almost 2 years in November.
Almost 2 years.
We also do live streams once a month now, but there is like, I think 11 or 12 live streams up there that you can go back and watch. They're kind of almost like a podcast in themselves.
Yeah.
Another episode that we did last month was we interviewed Katya and Dara, two friends of ours,
so
as a
fun
couple. We had Fiona on who gave her basic bitch breakup advice. We debated whether we thought this advice was good, and it's just like, if you are just gagging for the next episode, it's the best place to go. $6 a month tier, you will get access to all that shit. You get merch discounts. There's so much to come. We are going to be launching our own new merch line very soon, and they're going to get early access to that as well. So
yep,
if you want to know more, go on to patreon.com/itgirlspodcast.
Yeah,
and join the club.
Join the club, the sexiest club in dub.
We're
going to open a can right here, right now. If you are an OG It Galser, you'll remember this is how we started all of our podcasts.
And continued. Every single episode is like, hutch, hutch.
Yeah, right. Slurring as we went on.
The crayons got crispier and we got sloppier.
Yeah. But you made another point I want to make.
I want to make your point slightly different.
I like that point that you made. I want to say it.
I want people to know that I agree with that.
So cheers, biatches.
Cheers.
So I've been baptized. I went to the pub last night.
Oh my God. I was like, she's born again, born again.
I'm born again. I felt cleansed, motherfuckers.
And can we just, I want to, as someone, Lindsay, who prays at the altar of Mermaida Jade, albeit my best friend, can we please just give a whooping, whooping round of applause? Lindsay called it. She said she's going to be back in a pub by June 28th. Her little arse was Satin Sands, best pub in Dublin, / restaurant, by the way.
Yeah, I had some hake.
Stunned. I love that you went to the pub and had hake.
It was like
hake
so,
is so good.
Yum. I just love fish.
Me too.
And I had a porn star martini in my local fucking pub. Like, it's like an Alpha's pub.
Yeah, it's like a hotel pub.
Yeah. And oh my God, it was just the best thing in the world.
And the kiddly wings, were they delighted?
They were flipping delighted. I was like, get what you want, whatever. And I came home half cut, but like, so cleansed. I felt so full of goodness. I did yoga. I felt like I came back and did yoga. I felt,
that's the way to get Lindsay exercising.
I know,
porn star martini.
I felt like I'd had deep intense therapy for 5 months. I felt like I'd had like a vitamin drip. Like I'd left a retreat. The feeling of being in a pub, like the pub is my therapy. I just think different in a pub. I love everything about pubs. I love that they're darker in there, so you never know what time it is. I love that there's the usual people there. I just love it.
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's nothing like a pub atmosphere.
I know. It's just home to me. I just feel like, I can relax when I'm in a pub.
Especially because your one is like literally next door to you. That's the best thing. You just like saunter. Yeah, I love the local. A local pub for me is just, it's a safe space for me.
It is. It's beautiful. And like, I love all the workers there. Mm. And like, all the workers who weren't working were there drinking. I was like, I love that.
That is so cute.
I know. And they all have the masks, like the ones that are like around.
The visors.
Yeah, they're like down. And Luna was like, please, can I have one? So one of the workers is like, I have to go back on Wednesday. Have to go back. Because he's going to give her one. She was like, I want one.
That is PPE queen.
I know.
That'll be up on the TikTok very soon.
Yes, it will. Keep your eyes peeled for Luna's mask debut on TikTok. But yeah, I just am so happy. And yeah, I manifested it.
You did.
You think positive shit happens, honestly.
True.
Positive. We've done vibes a lot with It Girls and X Girls.
We actually have.
Manifesting stuff. Like, pour in positive vibes only, girls.
Yeah. Well, why concentrate on like the negative, you know, that way? Like, why be, I mean, obviously you want to be a realist, but like, yeah, when you're thinking of the future, it's like, why think of the worst that can happen? I hate those Debbie Downers who are like, oh, what if this happens?
No, pubs, I'd say, I mean, I would be surprised if they were open before Christmas.
I know. People were like, I'd say next summer will be normal.
I was like, sit yourself down and ask yourself. You're telling me that pub owners and pub workers literally will have no income for the guts of a year.
Yeah, by the way, Ireland's biggest industry besides tourism. Yeah. But it's a handheld into tourism. So
how's that going to work, Sheila? How are we not going to all fucking like be like, that would ruin the economy.
Absolutely.
It's not going to.
And the spirit.
And spirit.
Country.
Yeah. So I was like, no, it's impossible. It will never happen. God turned water into wine.
I love that.
So. He was not going to let the pubs be shut for that long.
Was it not Jesus that did that?
Jesus, God, it's all one.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot that. Yeah,
like the shamrock.
Today we're going to be talking about Jesus, girls.
We always weave him in. They.
Him. Oh, yeah, him with a capital H. I love that. We love him. I love the way Christians do that.
H with, yeah,
like the
random
capital H. They're like, it's not just any him, it's him.
Let's call him they, just in case.
Let's call them they.
You know, I saw a tattoo, God is a woman, on someone's neck before.
What, like Ariana Grande?
Oh yeah, she sung the fucking song.
Yeah, she's ruined that. You can't have that tattoo now.
Oh God,
you
no.
Believe God.
Well, I'd never get it anyway. You're not allowed to have. You're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to say God.
But there's some conspiracy going around, right? That apparently, like John Lennon, before he died, he said like, "I am God," and he died, and that's happened to a few celebs, apparently.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Bizarre.
Yeah, I know. Sip on that tea, girls.
Sip on that tea, honey. So this week, we are going to be talking about boundaries, girls.
Boundaries.
Boundaries. And don't go, we're going to make it sexy, we're going to make it cute.
Yeah.
But it is something that
glitter on it.
Lindsay and I have spoken about like a lot throughout our friendship, especially over the last, like, I would say, probably since we started doing It Gals full time. We've been fighting about boundaries ever since. Well, no, because I was actually talking to my mom about this today. I was like referencing our friendship and I was like, clearly mine and Lindsay's friendship is one where there are little to no boundaries. But at the same time, I then contradicted myself because I was like, actually, no, we have a great relationship, but we respect each other's boundaries on a very good level, I do feel. Like, we understand, we have a deep and meaningful understanding of each other's boundaries.
Deep, passionate connection.
And, you know, boundaries can affect you in, like, multiple ways. So we're going to talk about them in a few different ways. So I think, like, work, friendships, and relationships. They're the big three. Family, yeah, also.
Family, nights out. Boundaries exist everywhere. And I think I have definitely, in the past 2 to 3 years, more so two, like, been actively considering how I handle my boundaries, how I, like, you know, I feel like it's a real thing that kind of, if you arm yourself with good boundaries and respect your boundaries and others, it's a real grown-up thing to do. And it really, like,
it's good practice.
It's good practice, and it really has helped my life.
And I think, like, it's something that a lot of people don't prioritize enough. And it's also something that depends on very good communication. Because when you are trying to, you know, which we'll obviously go into in this episode, but like the fear that a lot of people have with like imposing boundaries or setting boundaries is that they feel that they'll come across like rude, mm-hmm. or that they'll come across like standoffish, or that they don't want anyone in their life, or they fear like obviously like backlash, which can happen in like workplace boundaries, setting that. You can get like people coming up against you and kind of patronizing your need for like a life outside the workplace. But it is something that's really important, because the more you do it, the better you get at it. And if you don't have it, if you don't flex that muscle enough of like setting boundaries and respecting other people's boundaries, it just can lead you to be taken advantage of, you know, that way in some ways, which is like, obviously we all want to avoid that.
Yeah. And I mean, definitely since going full time with ItGals, we had to prioritize. I think boundaries became more apparent in our life because our job is so flexible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, we had to make it a job. We created this job for ourselves. So we had to like create the boundaries with it so other people respect it, because sometimes like we work from home, so like sometimes, you know, people don't respect that, and you have to like, it's like, it really has helped me, especially because I wasn't in the workplace before, like build up kind of a professionalism about myself. And when I learned how to like kind of, when I just invited boundaries into my life, I think I never had thought about it before, like a few years ago I never would have. It wasn't in my life.
Yeah.
I had no boundaries. I was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's really helped me.
And that's so hard. Did you find it hard to like bring that into your life? Like, or was there a catalyst that made you be like, okay, I'm like, I need more boundaries in like different areas of my life?
Yeah. I think I looked at times when I hadn't like used boundaries and it just got me in shit.
Yeah. I think it's like when you look back and you see that, like, it always comes for me when it's like, especially in friendships and stuff, which is an easier way, and relationships, to be honest. But friendships would be where I have had more of my boundaries like disrespected, I guess, in the past.
Mm.
And I think at the first, you can just be like, that person's an arsehole, that person's this, that person, like, they're just rude and they're this. And then after a while, you kind of look back on it and you're like, hold on, like, I never told them that's not cool for me. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Or like, up until we decided to not be friends anymore, like, I never, like, say, like, imposed a boundary if it was, like, about loaning money or, like, who knows what it was about. But let's start off, I think, talking about some workplace boundaries. Like, say, for example, we'll start off talking about being self-employed, because I think that is something that you and I have had to practice quite a lot, building boundaries with that.
Yeah.
And I think that the hard one there is always like people taking it seriously, and people taking it seriously when you are working. Like, I remember, like, even when I would be working from home, and I'm sure loads of people can relate to this because of what just happened. A lot of people would have been working from home, and like, I mean, raise your hand right now, girlies, if you were like working and your mom comes in, she's like, "Will you come out and help me in the garden?" And you're like, "I'm working." And they're like, "Oh, geez, come on. My mom would do that constantly if I was working from home. I'd be like, literally working, and she'd be like, "Will we go do the shopping?" I'm like, "It's too, like, no, mom, I can't." She's like, "Oh, come on.
Or they'll tell you what to do at your break. Kind of thing. They're like, "Come on, take your break now, because I want to go down to John's and I need your help." You're like, I don't want to take my break.
Or like, I have to kind of take my break when my boss takes his break.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they'll be calling me and I'm just not at my desk.
I know. And it's just like, I mean, I'm sure maybe that definitely helped. Like, it was probably something that like everyone had to practice over the past couple of months, of being like, "Mom, you can't just walk into my room. Why not?"
Mums, you know? Irish mummies and boundaries. Like, oh my God, they find it hard. And do you find it as a mum, like, how do you find it with like your kids? You know, the way.
I mean, like, in terms of boundaries with the kids, especially in choir, like, they are on me. My kids are the most touchy feely, like, they are pressed against me almost 24/7. I'm like, please give me space, please give me. Like, today I was sat on the toilet peeing, and Luna, as usual, anytime I'm in that bathroom, they walk in. Anytime, Jenny. Anytime. So in she walks, and I was like, feck off. And she was like, "No, mom." I was like, feck off. And she still was talking. I was like, literally on the toilet.
Pissing.
So then I just shoved the door shut. I was like, "Rawr!" Like, I have sat them down and scoot and been like, I'm going to go to the bathroom now. Do not come in.
And Lindsay can get scary when she's mom.
I get really scared. And then I just want to say one thing. I'm like,
that would drive me insane.
How can you, why are you asking me a question while I'm brushing my teeth? I'm like, like trying to, oh, it's so infuriating. So they, but I mean, boundaries. And like, I remember watching something on This Morning years ago, and it was saying about like kids and consent and stuff, and that we should teach them like from an early age. Mm-hmm. Like, say, you know, if their granny comes in and you say like, oh, go kiss your granny, and they're like, I don't want to, and you're like, come on, kiss your granny. Like, you shouldn't do that. You should like listen to them. So like, I'm definitely trying to instill that kind of stuff into my kids. And in terms of space, so like, I'm like, I do this thing where like, I'll move my hands around, like stretch out my hands and like helicopter around. I'm like, I don't want you touching me. I want to have this space for myself.
Yeah,
respect that. So it's an ongoing thing. They, you know, I have to say it 35 times an hour probably, but like, they'll learn it one day.
Yeah.
But even just to be aware and to like vocalize that you should give people space. You shouldn't, you know, like say when I'm eating, don't talk to me when I'm eating.
Yeah.
Don't be asking me shit when I'm eating, you know?
Yeah.
But what was the question?
I was just like talking about how moms, like, because I know like growing up, not that my mom like disrespected my boundaries at all, but it can be hard to as a child of someone, it's hard to impose boundaries to like your mom. And I get it as well, because like I try and say this to my mom and she'd be like, but you're my daughter. And I'm like, but like opening the door while knocking it.
Oh,
my mom always did that.
Always. Oh my God, that's like, such a mom thing.
Knock one would be when the door's halfway open.
And you're butt ass naked.
Yeah, I'm like, and then she's like, sorry. And then what she would do is keep the door open while talking to me. I'm like,
I know. I'm never, again, with the kids, I'm not allowed to be nude in peace. I'll be tits swinging, trying to moisturize or whatever the fuck I'm doing. And like, the door, I'll see the door opening. I'm like, no, I'm naked. Just don't come in. Leave me alone. And they still come in. What? I've seen it before. I'm like, yeah, I just want naked time.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to be naked without someone watching.
Can a woman be nude?
I'm like, Luna just comes in and points straight to my breasts. Silently. I'm like, I know. It's like, Or the other week, I was like, I'd woken up and had my period. And Luna woke me up and she pulled back the covers and she saw like the blood. She's like, why is your bum bleeding, Mom? I was like, it's not my bum. It's...
Why is your bum bleeding?
Oh, like, I mean, you feel like an animal in a zoo when they're freaking walking in and you're sticking a pad down to your knickers.
Yeah.
And they're like, why are you wearing nappy, Mama? I'm like, and I tell, I'm like, because when you're a woman, blood comes once a month.
Yeah.
Then she's like, I don't want that rolling around.
Well, you asked.
Well, I don't want it either, and I don't need to point it out.
Yeah, and I'm also an extra bitch at this time of the month, so maybe don't be pointing at the mommy's bleeding from her bum.
My butt is bleeding.
My butt's bleeding.
My body.
My body.
I love body.
I remember when I used to work, the biggest pain for me, oh my God. And I think this kind of goes into like how like the culture is set up now, which is like this whole like, hustle, 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 work, 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 like
grind.
You're not working unless you're in the office till like 9 p.m. like that is a huge
wake up, hustle, repeat,
literally. But that is like such, when you're in like the professional world, it is a head fuck. It's so fucking annoying, because what it is basically like two bloody annoying people in your fucking office will be just there all the time. So then they set this weird precedent that like the people who work the hardest and the best are just there for a really long time. And like, I would always get all my work done in the day. Like, I wasn't like slacking off during the day. Like, if I'm in there, like I'm chatting and all, but I'll get my work done. You know what I mean? But I was also like, I would always like I'd go to the gym after work, and I'd have to leave like on time to get to the gym on time to this class that I did. And it was just such a pain, because like every now and again they'd be like, actually, you could stay for a meeting. It's going to start at 6:15. And like, works over at 6:30, and you know the meeting won't start till 6:30, and then, and I'm like, it was so annoying, because I'm like, the class that I had are like prepay, so like I've already paid for the damn class, and if you cancel it within a certain time, you don't get your money back. So I'm like, and they would never take that, you know. It was just this awkward thing that was always a really awkward like boundary that I was never really able to fully impose, because like, you never feel serious being like, but I've got an exercise class. That to them is just like, you've got a bullshit appointment doing bullshit. I don't care. We're making money.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's a hard one because I definitely, like, I really wanted to work, you know, for years when I had the kids, but I never knew how to maneuver it because of childcare. So, like, any job, I have no degree, so any job I was going to do was going to be like the same amount an hour that
even if you have a degree, honestly, yeah, in this day and age.
So I was like, how the fuck will I work? I need my mom to be able to mind them. So I did a nail course, and I got a job in a nail salon, and it was just the, it was like clashing of worlds, because I was like obviously depending on my mom to mind the kids, and, you know, wanted to manage that, but then all wanted to be professional, but like I couldn't, it just couldn't, it didn't work. My mom would be calling me all the time in work. I'd be fucking lagging it into it because we're not allowed phones.
Oh yeah.
And I'd hear my like, but I was allowed because of the kids. I was one of the only ones who had kids, but like I'd run into the bathroom like, what? She'd be like, so she's had a fall, and she's grand, but I'm just letting you know. I'm like, okay, just I can't be a mum when I'm working. I have to just be able to go to work. And I like, and it was the same similar kind of thing to you, that like if I was in till 8, it could be a quarter to 8 and someone will come in for a manicure and a pedicure, and they're like, Lindsay, will you take her? I'm like, and my mum will be like, no, get your arse on that 10 past 8 train. This was on South, the salon was on South William Street. I fucking learned how to walk so quick
to Tara.
It took 9 minutes.
Oh my god,
I don't know how the fuck I did it, but like
platform to platform,
be sweating because my mom was like, try and get that 10 past 1 will you, and I all day I'd be thinking about that, because she's like, because me and your dad are going out for a meal, and I'd be like bombing it down the fucking road, and I was like, this is too much, and like it just didn't work. I couldn't be good at both. I couldn't be like, you know, only asking my mum to mind them in that window frame and being good at work, because like all the other girls, if they were asked to stay, like it was kind of just a given, you'd never be finished on time. Like it was like at least 45 minutes extra, and I couldn't be the only one who was like, you know. And it's just, it's a stress then when you're aware that you're the only one who's not doing the extra.
Yeah, it's just like, it's a really uncomfortable thing, but I think it's just a lot of it has come, like I understand, like in the nail thing, it was like similar in retail, and that's kind of more like a customer based thing. Like it was the same in retail, like it'd be 10 to 8, the shop closed at 8, and someone would walk in at 5 to 10, and you're like, great. Great, great, great. And you're just like, the whole shop is spotless, and you're like cleaning up after them, and they're still
I know. You want to just go up to them and whisper in their ear,
yeah,
we're closing. Fuck off.
Yeah. Honestly, go fuck yourself. Yeah. Leave,
bitch.
Leave now. Imagine someone did that to you. Leave now.
And don't come back, you're barred.
You're never allowed in here again.
Your not, manager just looking on. What are you saying?
We're not even your style.
Yeah.
I see those boots.
Get it. Go. Leave. Shoot.
And like that is so annoying, but it is a given in those industries, annoyingly so, that like,
and it's also like you're only paid till 8. Like I was like dumbfounded at that. I was like, hold on, I just do an hour for free when I'm doing not really getting paid that. Okay, what the fuck, in what world?
I know. Well, yeah, it depends on where. So like when I worked in like if you work at somewhere where you have like a clock in and out, like a bigger kind of place.
Okay.
I worked in a department store. Then you would usually get paid for like, I think it's like up to, I think under half an hour you wouldn't. But if it goes over half an hour, you get paid for the hour kind
fair
of thing.
Fair play.
But yeah, in like private places, like you usually won't, or if it's not being logged. I think in some of mine did, where when you'd log off a till, you'd still get the money.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So it's actually up to the employer.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, a reflection on, you know, an employer at that point. But like in offices that I've worked in, it's really annoying because like you get paid the same amount every month on a salary.
Yeah.
So like, and that's usually based off the assumption that you're working like 35-ish hours a week. But like when I worked in advertising, like people were working like, I mean, some people were in there at 8 a.m. and leaving at 10 p.m. And they were the only people who get promotions. Like you don't like, and like I, that was when I was like, fuck this industry. I was like, I couldn't give a fuck about that. Like, and but obviously you wouldn't get a promotion because you want more money. It's not that I was like dying to climb the career ladder of advertising. Yeah. It's like you want more money, and that was really annoying because I was like, I'm still doing all my work. Like I'm doing all my work. I'm doing well at my work. It's just that I'm not starting new work at 5 p.m. when I finish at 5:30. Like, I'll finish off what I'm doing, but like, it was just, I always found it so insane. And there's been loads of times where like weird boundary shit has come up in workplace for me. Like another time, well, a weekend thing is a really annoying thing that can happen to you, especially when you work Monday to Friday, when they're like, so we might just need you to like keep an eye on the social channels over the weekend. And you're like, oh so I'm just working 7 days a week.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
And then I remember like we had some accounts that you'd have to do for 7 days a week, and like in fairness they would try and like swap that between people. Rarely happened, because I mean, kind of one person has to manage a social media account. You can't really have like one weekend I do it and then you do it, you know, that way. And like, say you do it, and like, it would happen where I'd like go out on a Saturday night, and then on the Sunday I'd be like hanging or something, or like I'd just be like kind of chilling in my fella's gaff or some shit like that. I wasn't really on my phone, and then like the next day they'd be like, "Ah, you didn't respond to this comment on the Instagram page." They need it to respond to all the time, and their client's really annoyed. It's like, how can they, like, I'm not getting paid for this bullshit. But yeah, I never, like, in it, weirdly in those instances, like, you either shoot yourself in the foot and be like, a boundary of mine is not to be working on the weekends. They'll be like, okay, how about you don't work at all?
Yeah,
there you go. That's your,
how's about you're fired?
How's about you are gonna get slowly edged out of the company?
Yeah,
I don't know how to solve that one.
I think work boundaries are a difficult one for sure. Mm. And even say with other stuff, there's a multitude of things in the workplace, like say drinks.
Oh, that was just going to bring that up. That's another really awkward one.
Like the nightlife. Like when I worked in that nail bar, there was one girl who, like, one of the best nail artists in there. Like, she was so good and really nice girl, really professional, friendly to us all in there, but she just didn't want to come out. You know, yeah, like, she, I don't think, she had her boyfriend, she just saw her boyfriend.
Yeah, she just wanted to keep work.
Exactly. And like, it was the talk of the fucking salon.
Oh, really?
Just the little conversations going around.
Or the missing out on like certain aspects of the work. Like that is an annoying thing that like sometimes you have to indulge in slightly.
I don't think she had FOMO, fair play to her. I get FOMO with like nights out and stuff.
I don't even think it's a FOMO thing. It's more just like being like, I've been in that situation in jobs where like, you know, for the first while, like, I wasn't going out for a few drinks, but then like I just was getting nowhere in my career. And not even just like professionally, but as in like work. Once I started to like give that a bit of time and like go out in a night out and actually just go out in one and have fun and stay there for the night, you know, that way, like, then my work started to become like inevitably more enjoyable because you're getting closer to people, you're spending time with people. I'm sure you found that with like those nights out as well.
It totally enriched my time, because you're like, you talk different. Like, we weren't able to talk a lot. Like, you had to talk to your client, so we weren't able to like chat in work unless like for whoever you had lunch with, or like in the staff room for a few minutes here and there. But like,
you can feel left out as well if everyone's like, oh my god, that was so gas, and you're like, I didn't go out again, you
know. And I loved it. I was like, I feckin' think that's great to be able to have work and also be a social element to your life. Like,
I loved that. I really enjoy that. That was one thing about the agency I worked in, like, I freaking loved. Like, for the first while I didn't go out, but that wasn't like a, like, my boundary. I was just like doing shit, or like, I just wasn't used to that as a part of my work life, really. Like, my first job, like, we did go out a bit, but like, that job was like a pure job, so like we'd be at events anyway, you know, the way we didn't really always need like an extra night out. It was like a lot of our job was events and all that kind of shit. But then when I worked in the ad agency, like, we would go out and it was just so fun. Like, I mean, it was one thing that literally kept me in the company. I was like legitimately friends with loads of the people there, and like, it was like being in school again. That's the only way I can explain
it's
that
so
job
fun.
It was so fun.
I know, like, I miss that about like, we need to have a Christmas party now that things are back to normal a little bit.
I know, me and Lindsay are cursed on our Christmas party.
I know.
We literally were meant to have one, whatever, year before, Christmas, two Christmases ago.
Yeah.
And then we couldn't have that one. And then this year we just didn't have one. We were like, we'll do it in the new year. And then, like, no. Yeah. Shit kicked off. What the fuck, man?
COVID, it's man.
Boundary. COVID is my boundary, man.
But yeah, it is. With work, I definitely... Yeah, I get what you mean.
It's a hard one. How do you not shoot yourself in the foot?
I think it's kind of like, you have to ask yourself what you want.
Yeah.
And if you do want to, like, get high up in certain places, unfortunately, you have to dedicate more of your time or whatever. Like,
you have to play the game.
Ask yourself what you want. And, like, you know, looking at people like that who fully are in the office so much more than everyone else, like, they obviously just need that part of their life. Uh-huh. Like, they don't maybe value their friendships as much or their family, like, whatever. Like, not that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, they're just on the career path. But, like, you can be on that too.
I said you said the queer path. I was like, wow.
I'd never do.
They're part of the LGBT community and they're on the queer path. They're firmly on the Q part of the path.
And I'm waving the flag. Happy Pride, y'all.
I'm waving the flag.
I think the mom one is gas. It, to go back to that one, like, I have just accepted... My mom does not respect my boundaries. And she doesn't. Never motherfucking will.
She doesn't.
So... And I think what I've learned, like, you know, my ex would be so concerned with trying to, like, get me to create boundaries.
Mm.
And I was just like, you don't understand. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, that's hard.
It's just not going to happen. And I think I have, what how I've concluded it in my own mind is, like, by saying, you know, she helps me out so much with the children. It's give and take.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
true.
That's just what it is.
Because you, she has no boundaries with minding the kids to an extent as well.
Yeah.
You know, that way. Yeah. As in, like, she'll mind them at 5 p.m., 1 p.m. Like, you know what I mean? It's, like, not really that big of a deal to her.
Totally.
Once, like, she has a bit of warning, obviously, like a normal kind of arrangement. But, like, yeah, it is kind, that's kind of the...
It's just, like, it is what it is. It's never going to change. She's not changed ever. She's never respected me or my sisters.
But, like, she's also privacy. Not, like, disrespectful. Like, that, like, just
no,
to put it
no,
out
no,
there.
No, God, no.
As in, like, when we say, like, she would, like, I don't think it's that she disrespects your boundaries. I just think that she's just like, my boundaries are your boundaries.
She just cares.
Yeah.
So, true. Like, you know, it would have been, like, troublesome when I was a teenager and she was reading my diary.
Yeah.
And when I was in college and, like, she found out I had sex for my diary.
Yeah.
I wrote a poem. A sex poem. So
so
gross.
You.
And I came home and the poem was, like, open on my bed. I was like, I know I didn't leave that open.
I love that your mum does that.
Oh, she's, she like, did that purposely.
There you go. I read that.
She read Sarah's mad stuff as well. Oh,
I think
horrific.
My mum, I'm pretty sure my mum did, was it my mum or my dad? I remember there was some sort of, like, letter written. I think it was when I first had sex and I wrote a letter, and then I remember my mom trying to, like, she was more like bringing it up like a normal conversation, like, so you might want to get on the pill. And I was like, ah, because I think she mentioned, like, I read something. I was like, oh my god, please bury me in the mother flipping ground.
I literally remember, like, a line of that poem that made me want, and just knowing that my mom read that, it was like, he came inside.
Oh god.
Oh my god.
And I'm pregnant 6 months later.
Yeah. You're a granny. Oh. And the fact that my mom read that, I was like, no, 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 no.
Imagine reading your daughter writing that. I mean, I'd probably piss myself laughing.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I don't know how I'll deal with that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm going to be strict.
Yeah.
Which will be a weird flex for me, but I don't know. I just, it's so crazy to think that. But, like, yeah, my mom with boundaries. Like, say if I don't answer the phone, she's calling my house phone, she's calling my mobile, calling my, she'll be at my door.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were dead. I'm like, nope, just didn't want to answer my phone because I was, in, or I was in the shower, or I was eating.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need to answer immediately.
Oh,
you bloody
up,
never
yeah.
do. Mums and their phones, like, why do you
my
have
mom
one?
Has never ever once answered her phone to me.
Why do you have a phone, mom? Truly, the other week I called her house phone, my dad,
I can reach her, no, she can reach me, but I can never get her. I always mess that up, like, every time I quote
I know,
it on the podcast,
and we quote it a lot, and we never have got it once.
We've never gotten any saying right in the podcast, I don't think. We
I
did
know.
What you tried to do it on our
and
Patreon.
That's a talent in itself.
We tried to do one on Patreon the other week, and I was like, another cog, and you were like, in the machine. And I was like, yeah. And then, like, someone commented on her being like, it's another, like, spanner in the works, and cog in the machine, or
we
so
like,
we said, like,
on,
we said
man,
the
yeah.
spanner in the machine.
Okay,
I think.
Look, we're not Shakespeare. You get that much.
I'm not the
release.
Sayings dictionary. The little book of sayings.
a little book of sex. Well, I have that book. Actually, where the fuck is that?
Where's the older shit in your tray?
I bet my bloody mum moved that. Boundaries.
No. Now, that's a real Evelyn Hamilton move. So in this table that we record on, there's a book in the middle of it that's called The Little Book of Sex.
It's called The A to Z of Sex.
And it's gone.
And I remember my mum would come into my house and her eye would dart straight to that book.
I can't see it anywhere. She'd take it.
Oh my God. I fucking love that book. Her eyes. I remember because I had it there and I tried to like get incense and like shuffle it over. She was glaring at that book, but not saying anything.
Yeah, just the word sex.
She obviously was just like, mental note.
Yeah. I'll be moving that.
Destroy the book.
Burn the book, Evelyn. Burn. Oh, the little Jesus on her shoulder. Burn the book.
Yeah. Because she has a fucking key, so she probably like popped up one day.
Oh my god.
You see what I mean? Like, there's no boundaries with her.
Yeah.
Like, once she came into my gaff and I had like this, it was like a kind of African statue. It was like a head kind of thing. I bought it in a charity shop and I had it on my wall. And she was over for a cup of tea or whatever and she left and I could see, like, I was like, what's under your arm? She's like, don't like that statue you have. I was like, well, I like it, so just don't. What? Give me it back. She's like, no.
Spirits.
No, there's spirits with that. No. They. I was like, Mum, I bought it in Oxfam. It's like probably from IKEA. She was like, no. They bless these with evil spirits and then they send them out. I've read it all. I was like,
oh my God.
Dumped it. In the fucking bin. She's done that with a lot of things that I have.
Really?
Just things she doesn't like. Incense took a while for her to accept.
Yoga? She's all right with that now?
Not really. Still a bit weirded out by it. Really? Pilates, she's fine with. But yoga, she's like...
Teachings.
She's like, I just don't like that it has to involve the spirits. I'm like, it doesn't.
There's nothing in it. That's
she's like, it's the first step. And then you're drinking weird tea and you're talking to spirits. I know it all. I've heard it from other people in the church. I'm like, okay. So bad. Like, it's ridiculous.
Mom, you talk to the Holy Spirit. Why can't I talk to my spirits, my yoga spirits?
I talk to my spirit of vodka. Rock and roll.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's move on to friendships then.
Okay.
Any tales?
Tales of boundaries. I feel like with my friends, you know, we're pretty similar. I definitely have been more assertive with boundaries and not vocalizing them to friends, but just like, I don't think you ever have to sit someone down and be like, this is my boundary and you got to accept that. It's more so.
It's a show rather than a tell. Yeah. And it's a show rather than a tell a lot of the time, I find.
Yeah. It's like saying yes and no to stuff. And like, I definitely in the past would have said yes to more things, kind of like put myself second and my friendships first. And I definitely, I've been more conscious of how I am in friendships over the past while. I want my friendships to be equal, and some of them weren't, you know, like some of them I definitely in hindsight looked back and I'm like, okay, I gave way more than they gave, or I was, you know, the way.
Yeah. And like, I think like with friendships, like when, you know, it can be misunderstood when we say like, oh, they have to be equal. Cause like I do like, there's always an ebb and a flow in friendships. There's going to be times where like one person is more giving than the other, and like, you know, it doesn't have to be like completely equal. Like, I put in a fiver, you put in a fiver.
Yeah.
You give me a lift, I give you a lift. It's not tit for tat equality, but it's more like, you know, say one person is the more nurturing with like support and advice and all that kind of stuff, but the other person is like a doer. You know, it's like love language kind of vibe, you know, that
totally,
way.
Yeah.
And it's like you have to respect how like other people engage in friendships as well, because I think a lot of people can fall out of friendships about that too, because they can be like, you know, I was always giving her advice and giving her advice, and then like, you know, when I asked her for advice, she didn't really give me any. It's like, not everyone's great at giving advice.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Or kind of comfortable at giving it sometimes.
Or sometimes you can be, she's always going on about this, like it also can be dependent on what you're both going through. So
yeah,
like if you know, if your life is going okay and your friend is going through like turmoil, you're probably going to be talking about your friend's stuff more than yours.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think in terms of like, I've looked back and definitely how I kind of work it now is I'll treat you how you treat me kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And not in a like, if you're going to say something mean, I'll say something.
Yeah.
But like, however you're valuing the friendship, I'll do the same.
I think it's definitely like, you just have to be so self-aware and aware of like reflecting on your friendship, because I think sometimes like, and it's happened, I say a lot of people, where you can be like, oh my god, we're such good friends, we're such good friends, we're such good friends, and then you're kind of like, hold on. Like, they never ask me to hang out. I'm always asking them to hang out. Or when they do ask to hang out, it's just because some of their plans have fallen through.
Yeah, yeah.
And shit like that happens, and then you're like, okay, am I just a friend of circumstance? So it is good to always, like, especially with new friendships, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to get, like, swept up in it. It's like a relationship where you're like, oh, it's so great. And then it's like, hold on, she doesn't have an apartment and I do. And that's why she's always over here.
Yeah.
Not because she wants to hang out with me.
And that was always a thing with me, because, like, I was the first of my friends to get their own place and stuff because I had a kid so early. And, you know, I've always been so open with my home because...
Yeah.
I was a single ma and I needed to have my friends over.
Yeah.
That, you know, I couldn't go out. So I was like, come to mine, come to mine. And, you know, most of my friends would like respect, like they'd come over. Sometimes they'd stay, sometimes they wouldn't, whatever. But then I'd have some friends who would like totally overstay their welcome.
That I just
and I was like,
don't. How do people do that shit?
I don't know how to get you out.
How do people do that shit?
And how do you assert that boundary?
Because you had a friend who would literally come, I remember, and like you would have to say to me, like, okay, they're coming over. I'm not gonna talk to you for 2 days because like they not only will they not leave, but I can't even go on my phone with them because they're so like demanding of my like presence, basically.
Yeah.
And it was like, what?
I had a friend, yeah, like she'd come over, like she was, you know, dealing with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be there for her and like offer her my place and like, you know, to come over and like stay when she needed that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was to the point where like there was no space. Like, I mean, if I picked up my phone to call someone, she'd be coming in talking to me. Like she just, even if I was like, I actually just need to make a call, she'd be like, yeah, cool, go ahead. And then she'd be like, Lindsay, can I get this? Can I, when I'm on the phone, I'm like, oh my God. Like she didn't give me 5 minutes.
Mental.
And she'd then, because I'd kind of broken down that boundary of like, you know, what's mine is yours, you're welcome here, blah blah blah, then she kind of started to see it as like her gaffe.
Well, the weird thing is with boundaries is like you have to set them so early, which is the scary thing, because although like you, of course you can work on you can change boundaries and you can work on like instilling more and if someone fucks up, but it is just that extra bit harder when like when the boundary has been broken down, then you're like, actually, I don't want you to sit on that chair anymore. And then the person's like, what? You always used to let me sit in the chair.
Yeah.
And it can just be this weird... But you have to get used to both sides of it, I guess. You know, that way, like, allowing people to instill boundaries into your friendship, especially after a fuck-up, that's when you can usually bring up, like, new boundaries.
I definitely feel like it's something now that I just... I'm continuously working on, but I definitely have gotten much better at that. Like, for example, because I did nails and tattoos and that kind of thing, sometimes like I'd have people, like my friends, being like, oh my goodness, can you do my nails? We'll come over and we'll drink. And I'm like, I just like you're always like that they'd only hang out with me if they were receiving something.
Okay.
You know, yeah. That they'd be like, oh, I'll come over, we'll have a sleepover, we'll do tattoo. Which is like, oh no, you're not, I'm giving you a tattoo, we're drinking. Yes, it's fun, but you're always getting something out of it.
Mm.
And I began to notice that with a good few of my friendships, and that pissed me off. And I'm just like, do you know what? You know, if it's not reciprocal.
Especially when it's being painted out as like a mutual enjoyment. It's like, no, I'm doing you a favor by giving you a tattoo and I'll do it.
Yeah.
But like, come on.
I think that happens a lot with people. Like I remember like in, when I was doing nails, like that happens a lot with like,
yeah,
girls who are, you know, beauticians and stuff. So respect your beautician friends, because like, since Quar, we have seen how much we value our hairdressers, eyebrow girls, eyelash, nails, all that.
So excited.
So respect them and don't ask them. Like, you know, there's so many girls who like will have done a nail course or full time working as something, and then their friends at the weekend are like, oh, cool, can you do my nails before we go out?
It's, yeah, like, it's like they've been working 40 hours doing it.
Which, why do people expect free shit? Like, I mean,
yeah.
And I would have a lot of people saying, like, oh, you know, kind of like making false promises or whatever. Or like, oh, we'll do this, I'll bring you this.
And they don't.
They don't. And it's like, it's just a no for me. Yeah. So.
Moocher is like, I've noticed like the older I get, I'm like, so many people are so fucking scabby. And just,
I know,
mooching off shit constantly.
Shamelessly as well. Shameless. They do it with such, and I just stopped doing it.
And I got to the point where I'm like so,
I mean, I stopped accepting it.
Yeah. I got to the point now where I'm so like OTT, like paro about that someone thinks I'm a moocher because I've been around so many moochers.
Yeah.
Or even just like, I hate the whole like, which is like probably like hashtag unrelatable to some people, but like when you have a couple of followers on Instagram, I hate when you're like booking something and then someone's like, if you don't mind, can you pay? I'm like, I was gonna pay. Oh,
I know.
God, that's so uncomfortable. I'm like, oh my God, I would never presume.
I actually prefer 100%.
I prefer to pay.
Prefer paying. I don't like that whole side of Instagram. I don't, that's why I don't post,
yeah,
stuff. I don't get barely anything because I never post it, but I can't.
No.
I just hate it all.
Yeah.
I don't like it's just real, you just feel like a show off. You know?
The like products and stuff, I don't mind as much, but a service for free makes me uncomfortable because I'm like, how do I know you're getting paid right? Or like, am I putting you out of money? You know, when you're face to face with someone like doing your nails or doing your eyebrows or doing your hair, it's just very, yeah, like, and then I'm like, I don't want to come across like patronizing if I tip you, but then maybe you would actually really like if I tip you, or maybe I'm not tipping enough or tipping too little, or
am I allowed to tip you? Oh,
I know. So it's, fucking it's, awkward.
It's a fucking minefield.
It is, you know?
And
tipping.
I'm like, I would actually just prefer to just pay.
I know.
And it's actually a more enjoyable experience.
Well, because the boundaries
well.
Are there. The boundary is, yeah, is that like, I'm a customer, you are providing a service, and I'm paying, mm-hmm, for it. So like, that would be one thing. Like if any of your friends, yeah, exactly, if they're like brow girls, nail girls, especially coming into now where they've been out of pocket,
yeah,
pay them money and come and bring them money. And if they say like, no, just pay them.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's a big one as well, because like, is it uncomfortable accepting money from your friends? Yes. But you, and yes, you have that little play by play of like, say if, you know, I've done some nails and they're like, no, take that. And I'm like, no. And they're like, you'd kind of have to leave it on the table.
Yeah.
Like, because it's an awkward thing, but just leave it on the table.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just.
One rule for me, like that I would always be so careful around, would be like loaning money to friends. Mm. That would be a big boundary for me, just in the sense that like, I've actually never had anyone like really rip me off for like a large amount of money or anything like that. Probably because I've never really purposely loaned anyone a large amount, but I've just seen it happen so many times. I've seen so many, like, again, moocher people take money off people and just like be like, like disappear into the distance, and someone's like, yeah, she awkwardly owes me like €300. I'm like,
what?
How do people do that to their friends?
And I mean, as well, I'd say to the girls and guys he's listening, protect the more kind of maybe the lesser abled gal in the group who's like not able to stand up for themselves.
Yeah.
Because I'll notice if I'm like around a big group of people that like the moochers will always go to the kind of more quieter one, who's the meeker one. And they'll be in their ear being like, would you mind if you got that? Because like, I have my Revolut, but it's like not working.
And I hate when people come out with
and
shit
I've
like
done that.
That
so many times. And I'll just like dictate over the group. I'm like, right, okay, we're all going to go to the cash machine, get out your money. Or like, I'll say it in the WhatsApp group the next day, like, remember we owe this amount of money. Or like, you know, like, I'll be the fucking...
Yeah, I'll be the bitch too. I don't give a fuck.
With money, because I hate when there's one person who isn't as able to like stand up for themselves. And they're always the ones who are fucking... You know, like, always, whether it's with cars, with whatever the fuck it is, clothes, blah, 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 they're gaff. If you look at all your friendships and say, like, is it reciprocal? Because I think that's really important. And even though, you know, I'll have a lot of generous friends, I'll always get them back. Even if they love being generous and they are like, no, I don't want to, still do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, for your own kind of, it just makes you feel good.
It's good karma.
Yeah, you know, totally. It's good practice for sure.
So in relationships, the sexy third of this podcast, of this threesome, boundaries are like a hard one in relationships too, because it is going back to that thing of like, at the start of a relationship, you're like, and you're not thinking, I should really start to instill some boundaries in my lover. Yeah. And let him understand I have certain boundaries.
So if we break it down into different things, so there's again money, there's time.
Money, time. Oh, what else? There's
family and friends. That's another kind of boundary.
Yeah. Like the home. And what I had written down here when I was thinking about it earlier, that there's like a thin line, and this is like goes back to boundaries on communication, because I was reading an article about it and they were saying like there's just such a thin line between boundaries and rules, and that's where people usually get instilling their boundaries wrong, that they say it like rules. They're like, you're not allowed spend this amount of money a month. That ain't a boundary. That's like being like, I'm controlling you.
Yeah.
And people can be like, well, that's my boundary. I don't want you spending all that money. It's like, I'm sure you don't want to be, but a boundary is more like...
Or if you're with a lad who loves to go on a 3-day sesh and not call you, and he's like, I was out with me lad. I have to have me night out.
Yeah.
I told you that.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, okay. Like, there's definitely like ways to abuse stuff in that situation.
Yeah, defo. And I think it's like, you have to, it's all about your communication level. Definitely. You know, that way of like effectively communicating something without, and not in a way of like, walking on eggshells, but just like effectively communicating why it's a boundary, why it's important to you, and why it also will be like benefit your relationship, because boundaries do benefit your relationships.
Yeah. And it's also, it does, the foundation is built on respect though. You know, like if you don't have a partner who's going to respect your desire, wants and stuff, then he's not going to respect your boundaries. So it's about communicating and respect, because it's a tough one, you know.
Yeah. So like, going back to what you were saying there, like the different points of like boundaries in a relationship. So the first one would be, money's a hard one in relationships, definitely, especially the more serious the relationship becomes.
Yeah.
Because like at the start of your relationship, it can be like, woo, we spend lots of money, we're going out, we're having like, you know, I remember like the start of mine and Evan's, like I was getting wine and dine and we're going out all the time and dinners and all this kind of shit. And then it was like, not that it was like pulled from under you, but like it obviously has to get to a point where you're like, not sustainable. It's like, that's always fun, and it's also like kind of needed at the beginning of a relationship, because like it's not really much fun just going to someone's gaff all the time. If you can go out, it's nice to get to know someone in a neutral environment. You know, we spoke about that actually in last week's episode on X-Gals. We were talking about like coronavirus and how it like kind of put a stall to a lot of like normal dating, because it's nice to be in a restaurant or a pub getting to know someone. You're not like immediately in their gaff.
We were talking about some home dates that I'd had that were like, oh, you gotta sign up, girl. But
you know what I mean? So it's like, it's a nice helpful thing at the start of a relationship, but it's definitely not sustainable to be like going out like twice, three times a week for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's something that like, you know, we can be presented a lot of the time as women, because a lot of the time the men will like to do that, you know, that way. But you have to kind of also, when the guy kind of stops that as much. Or mm-hmm. he might be like, oh, I can't really, I think a lot of girls can kind of go on the defense of a guy like, I can't really like afford quick. They're like, oh, fuck's sake, I signed up for all the dates.
Yeah.
Where my dates gone?
I think you, from what I'm learning, I've definitely got in bad situations financially before with my ex, where I lived here, I had the home, you know, and then he just moved over and moved in, and then I was still the one just paying the rent, and finance was always something that was just like never equal. It drove me around the bend, and it was never going to be equal. And now that is like my first red flag.
Yeah.
And not that I'm like looking for someone to like bring me out and pay for everything or whatever. I need someone who I can talk openly about money.
Yeah, without it being this personal attack.
Yeah.
That so, it's like, you're blah, like
I just need
up.
It like, da-da-da. That's how we talk about money. There's no like awkwardness or uncomfortableness or, you know, kind of secrecy or anything like that, which was in my previous relationship. And so from like the first date, I can tell that. And it's like, I've been on dates with guys where I'll always offer to pay, usually if, you know, go halves or whatever. You can usually get a vibe from the guy. But say if he's like, no, like say if either they're like, oh no, I'm treating you to, if it's just a spoken thing, they'll either say like, no, this is on me tonight, I wanted to take you out, I asked you, mm-hmm. I don't expect you to pay, don't. Or else I've been out with guys where they're like, I'll get dinner, you get drinks. And I know that this is an easy conversation to have.
Yeah.
But if there's a kind of awkwardness around money at the first date, I fucking won't fuck with that.
Oh, there's nothing and worse. I mean, like, if, oh, I remember a girl said to me once, she was like, there's nothing fucking worse than at the point of dinner when a guy is getting out his phone calculator to calculate the tip.
No.
I'm like.
Or having it. And like booming in the restaurant, like, I had two glasses of rosé, a bruschetta, and the hake. And it's like, I had the pea soup. Like, it's just, it's cringe. I can't.
No, I can't do that.
Like, so if I'm, and again, I don't mind going halves with guys, but if it's like, just if he's able to say that with like confidence or something. It's the kind of like awkward shuffling around and like trying to just get out of paying or like, you know, or just also the there's a multitude. Like I mean, my ex just had no shame with money. As in like he never felt shame of like not even treating me or you know, the way like we had a meal just before, like I think we'd just broken up. And we were kind of thinking still about like maybe working on things. And I met up with him and I was like, I don't eat when I'm stressed. So I was stressed of this breakup and I got like a bruschetta and like three glasses of wine or something. And or one glass of wine. And then, he was like, he got a load of fucking food and he just didn't pay for the bruschetta.
And it's probably like $4.50.
I know, it was. And I was like, I was like,
like left that on the bill.
Yeah.
Oh God, that's so good.
We went up together to pay.
Oh no.
And he was like really loud, being like, yeah, I got the margarita, I got this, I got that, I got this, I got two glasses of wine. Yeah, no, didn't get the bruschetta or that glass of wine. I was like, And it was like 11 euro. It was just.
With that being a boundary then, what would you, like as someone who's actively trying to work on like financial boundaries and relationships, what would your like red flags be? Or not red flags, I guess we've spoken about them, but how would you like, you know, implement them?
I'm making money now and, you know, I feel like it has to be equal enough to your finances. That's what I've always thought is fair. That because I never thought it was, I just think that that's how I kind of manage it. So if I am dating someone who is earning a lot more than me, I think that they should put like kind of like the same percentage of your income. Do you know the way?
I would disagree with you on that.
Yeah, see, if I was dating a guy who wasn't making as much as me, I would feel uncomfortable with like not helping them out a little bit, because like I want to, for example, go to nice places. If they couldn't kind of afford, I would expect, like, I just think that's fair personally, like the same amount of, the same kind of percentage of our wage.
Do you not think it gets so like mathematical though? It's like,
I don't think you need to, but like it's just a knowledgeable thing. And yeah, I think if you are kind of open enough with, like, I mean, I, you know, earnings, so like, I mean, I don't need him to show me a freaking pay slip, but if I'm dating someone who works in Centra, I know that around what earnings they're on.
Yeah, like I think where I would stand on that, like as a rule, is like, you know, if I wanted to go somewhere and I knew, like, say Evan, I don't know, wasn't making money for some reason, like if I wanted to go somewhere, I just go out and pay for it, because I'm like, this is my decision and I want to go here, you know, that way. But mm-hmm. I don't think I would be as much as like, with everything we have to like split it accordance to paycheck. Do you know what I mean? Because I just think it kind of like, I think it leaves too much onus on, like, you know, it's not your fault that you're doing well, and therefore you shouldn't have to like carry the whole financial weight on your shoulder. You know, that way it's like, also people have to, and I also think that, like, honestly, a lot of the time it just works better dating someone who's making somewhere on your level. You know, that way I think,
totally, yeah.
I think that, like, if you are, and this can be like male, female, gay, like whatever it is, like it can be a big divider where you're like, if someone, say you are saying, like, someone has just, say they're in college and they're working 20 hours a week and you're like working a full-time job, you've got your own business, like it's like, it's kind of like a clash of worlds almost, you know, yeah, that way. So mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know if that can ever like really, and then you could be like, again, like you can open yourself up to mooches that way too, you know, that way.
Yeah, well, you can be in a situation where, I mean, I don't see myself dating. I'm choosing, like, I'm not going to be dating anyone like seriously.
Yeah.
But if I was to get in a serious relationship, I would want them to be earning more than me.
Yeah.
That's how I've always wanted it, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. that's just what I want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who knows? I could meet someone who doesn't, but I want someone who's like,
well, you want someone who can live the life that you're also living, I think, you know, that way. Like, they don't have to be raking millions more than you, but like,
no, not at all. I just want someone who is like more financially like knowledgeable than I would be.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a comfort for me in a man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I've been just I've never had that. So that's what I would look for now, because like I've always been like, my first, like Rilo's dad, he was just awful with money.
Yeah.
He earned a lot. He worked hard. He earned fair. He earned a grand amount of money. But he would just like, oh my goodness.
Some men are just terrible with money.
He'd like just make, yeah, he was just awful with money. He would like, you know, buy this car that he couldn't afford because, he, you know, that kind of stuff, and then crashed it and like couldn't afford it. It was just like, he was a spender. One of those people who would like spend for the first half of the month and then have literally nothing.
I can't stand that. That's such a red flag. And it's also such a red flag for like, if we're going to talk about boundaries, in the sense that it's like, that's so the type of guy who come home and be like, oh, hope you don't mind, I spent all my money on the new steering wheel in the car. And you're like, especially if you're like married, it's like, and that's, you know, with a communication with money, you know, that way, on boundary, on like someone's spending habits. And like, unfortunately, that does come into your relationship as well, because like, even Evan said it to me sometimes, he's like, because like I'll be getting packages all the time now, some of the stuff is like I can afford it, you know, that way, but like he doesn't always know that, because like we don't have each other's bank account details, you know, that way. So like, we do have to have that conversation where he's like, you know, like he wouldn't tell me like to chill on the spending, but sometimes he's like, you know, because I'll buy most of his stuff for the gaff, and he's like, how much was that? And I'll be like, 280 euro.
he's like,
but like, I also take into it where it's like, it's my decision to buy that, and like I would never like spend something without him knowing and then expect him to pay half.
Yeah,
I hear of people doing that, and I think that's absolutely batshit crazy in relationships. Yeah, people being like, so I bought that new thing over there that was 300 quid, so 150. It's like, I know that if I'm choosing to spend something like buying a gorge chair for the desk that's like 200 euro, I'm like not going to be like, so Evan, you will be sitting in that, I expect the money in my account Friday.
Yeah,
it's like, that's my decision as an adult, you know, that way. But it is annoying then, like, there is the fine line too, because then there's sometimes where like in your relationship where you're like, we both need this, we've had a discussion about it, I'm willing to go buy it, and then it's like the awkward thing of like, can I have the half the money for that thing?
I know, and that's with my ex, it was like, he would vocalize stuff that never materialized.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be like, I'd love to buy a couch for the place. This was when we were living together. We were talking about getting a couch. And I was like, okay, can we go? It's like, I've saved. Let's get the fucking couch. And he'd be like, oh yeah, no, we will. I just like never fucking did it. But he'd be like making me think that he was going to be like,
yeah,
you know,
men are just like, a lot of men are like that. Just like, they're afraid to bite the bullet sometimes. I feel like where women are such planners. Like we're just like better at being able to like, okay, we want a couch. How do we do that? We save money. Then we save the money. Then we go to the couch place. Men sometimes can be like, really want that couch. Oh boy, do I want the couch. And you're like,
let's buy it.
Why don't we just go fucking look at it then and buy one?
Yeah, like I think it was just we had a different relationship with money.
Yeah,
and I think
that's
kind of like, yeah, it's a fucking hard one. But to move on from finances and boundaries and relationships, I think another one is, which I struggled with in my previous relationship, was like amount of social time and alone time. Like in a relationship, I definitely need to not be hanging out with them that much. Like I like my alone time. I value it so much. I've lived on my own for so many years. Mm-hmm. It's just inbuilt in me now. I can't function without like my decompressing time alone.
Yeah.
And you know, that just needs to be respected.
Especially because you have the kids during the day.
Yeah.
I think that should be noted. You know that way.
Yeah, exactly. And then with my social time, like I am very much a girls night out kind of girl. Like I love going out without a fella. So, you know, when I was in a relationship, I still want to go out and do my own thing and have nights out. And that I found hard to configure because he'd kind of guilt me into think, you know, being like, oh, I'll just stay in then if you're going out, or, you know, not like, because I wouldn't have like a reason. Like I always find it hard to say, because kind of like when you were saying with the work thing, when you're like, I have to go, and they're like, why? And you're like, the gym.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like say
yeah.
if like
you feel like almost a level of imposter syndrome kind of feeling where you're like, my excuse is really not that good enough.
I know, but I also need it.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're afraid of just saying the truth. And like,
yeah, you're like, you'll be wrecking my head. I need to go out with the girls and not be around my boyfriend for a few hours.
Yeah. And I won't be texting you either.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see you in the end of the night, but I'm not doing the whole like text me fella for the whole fucking night when I'm out. And yeah, and it would get to a place where like I found it just difficult to, well, like anytime I'd say try and assert my boundaries, say again, you know, my gaff. So when we weren't living together, and if he was like coming over and then he was kind of staying and another night, and I would be like in my head, okay, I would love a night to myself. I'd love to just watch my shit, not have to talk, you know, because we'd always like watch the same movie. You know, we'd be like, okay, what we watched tonight? It was a very
weird movie. It's a different vibe, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I fucking just need a night. So I'd be like, so, are you thinking of going home tonight, or what's your vibe? And he'd instantly go cold and like,
the defensive.
And be like, yeah, fine. Yeah, I'll leave. You don't want me here.
I can't stand that. Because like, I'm so like, because like you and I'd be similar in that sense of like, I hate people who like overstate their welcome. So I think because I'm so aware of that, I'm always like so careful of myself. Like I remember even the first night I went to Evan's house, like we had already had sex and it was like, I say 11, and I was like, will I go? I was like, I'll check the train. And he's like, no, it's a grand, you can stay. And I was like, I think I'll check the train. Because I'm just so like, I don't ever want to be that bitch being like, oh, I'm comfortable here.
Yeah.
Like I was like, it's fine, I go. And I stayed. But like he had to be like, no, it's grand. And like I would also like find it mad, I think because in my last relationship we did have that boundary, I guess, where like we would kind of only have like one or two nights together. Like I would never like stay like during the week, or really like on a like Sunday night or anything like that, you know what I mean? So it was always so random when I always find it so weird when I got with Evan, then that it was like he'd be asking me over, I guess cause we're both self-employed too, so he'd be asking me over on like a Tuesday, and I'd be like, and then like he'd leave and he'd be like, what are you doing today? And I'd be like, I'm recording with Lindsay. And he'd be like, I'll come back here after anyway, we'll get some takeaway later. I'd be like, what? You want me to fucking come back to this place? This is amazing. But I was also like so cautious of
it. But
or
then
something.
If your boundary was kind of like that, you didn't want to come back, you're like, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think
it's like I was saying, like, he would have been grand with that because he.
Yeah.
You know,
but like, I always saw it as his, and this is like a tip that I would give to girls. Like, if you are living at home, mm-hmm. and it your fella has an apartment, like, he kind of sets the boundaries at that point, you know, that way, like, not in all levels, but like, if that's where the place where you mostly hang out are, like, because I remember, like, there'd be times where
with the home, that's
what I mean,
the
boundaries. yeah not in the whole relationship. No, with where you're hanging out and when you hang out, if that's where you're going to be hanging out, you know, mm-hmm. that way, like, I was always very careful in the sense that, like, so me and Lindsay would record one night and, like, I would never, like, presume I can just stay in his house afterwards because mm-hmm. he lives near.
Yeah.
Now I live there. But, like, you know, it's, I would never be like, so I'll be back. I mean, Lindsay recording Tuesday night, so I'll
Oh,
yeah, I'll be over 11. It's like, you know, that would be a big boundary for me. Like, I would never want to, like, be presumptuous with someone else's, like, home or their workspace or, like, you know, mm-hmm. even he has, like, the studio. I'd never be like, like, I have keys to that. I'd never, like, randomly walk into the studio. Like, I would feel so fucking weird doing that. I'd always be like,
it's a respect.
Do you mind if I? And he'd always be like, yeah, duh. But I'd be like, I would never, like, just be there. Hello.
Yeah. And I think, like, my last relationship definitely taught me a lot of about kind of boundaries
mm-hmm.
and how, because I was seeing, like, the same shit happen every fucking year, getting back with him. And it was always because I broke down these boundaries that I had in place, and then they started to just kind of crumble away,
disintegrate, yeah.
And it's because he doesn't kind of respect my boundaries. So,
and if someone doesn't respect your boundaries, they don't respect you. That's an unfortunate, it's a hard pill to swallow, but, like, especially if it's, like, multiple boundaries, like, there can be times where, like, someone can find it hard, like, if you've been brought up so differently to someone, like, say, like, you were brought up in this really, like, touchy-feely family and everyone was all over each other all the time, and then you get with someone who's, like, maybe a bit more like, oh, I'm not much of a hugger. That can be, like, that's not them disrespecting you, but, like, they have to hear you and adapt to it sometimes. Yeah. You know, the way if you're, like, or, you know, it can even happen where, like, you know, you're, their ex-girlfriend could have wanted, like, loads of cuddles in bed, and you could be like, oh, I don't really like that. Yeah. You know, it can just, you're, it's like muscle memory. Sometimes you're like, okay, but, like, you have to know how someone does it. Like, when you're saying, like, that ain't my thing, like, are they just still doing it? Like, are they just completely disregarding your boundaries or being like, well, I like it?
It was a very, like, it was always a kind of slow little thing. Like, it was kind of like, say, if we're talking about the home, for example, you know, my place was always the place where we'd hang out.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of, yeah, it was like, very slow. But so say now we're co-parenting and it's working really well, and it's working well because I'm instilling these boundaries and I'm not going to change them this time around. I'm going to, like, 100% stick to them. And one of the boundaries is that he doesn't come into my house, and he's not going to ever.
Yeah.
That's just my boundary, because that has been the thing that it's been this beginning and the end and the toxic circle of us getting back together and breaking up, is because, like, you know, we'd be meeting and co-parenting, and then it would be Luna's birthday, or we'd be getting on and she'd want to watch a movie together with us all, or we'd be like, okay, we'll have some, like,
family
and then he's in the house, and then I need to go out one night last minute, my mom's not available, oh, Jimmy has been in the house, I'll let him mind her, blah blah blah. It would just go on and on and on, and then suddenly I'm back with him and he's living in my house and not going around. And it's like, it's slowly. So that's also another thing, like, every little chink of your boundaries is the greater scheme of things. So like, say with finances, like with money in friendships or in work, like, I'm not the person that you come to if you want to borrow money, because I just don't like getting involved with that in friendships.
Yeah,
I don't ask my friends money.
Me either.
And I've just never really been asked, like, because I think back in college, I remember there was a girl who I lent €100 to, and I never got it back. So I was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that anymore. And I also, I hate asking for money. Now, I think if you are the person who gave the money, you shouldn't have to ask. But a lot of the time you are. So I just don't like that. So I would... It's an awkward thing, but, like, to assert boundaries, I think there does have to be a sense of discomfort, you know? Like, it's...
Mm-hmm.
I literally will, like, when my ex is at the door waiting for Luna, my front door, I'll like open the door, be like, hey, yeah, I'm just going to get a coat, shut the door and go back inside. That feels a little awkward, you know, like I'm shutting the door. He's there.
Well, especially when you're asserting a boundary that in the past has been broken, because you're like taping up a big crack, you know, the way, because you're like, oh, you're used to coming in here. You usually do come in here, but now you're not. And I'm making it very obvious that you're not.
And some people just like, well, it's a thing as well where I don't know if hints work with boundaries. I've had it so many times with friends where like they've stayed the night before or whatever. And they're like just on my couch, just texting. And I'm like, I actually have to go to my mum's now. And they're like, yeah, cool, I'll stay here. You're like,
I think they do for most people though. But I think some people are just really disrespectful. You know that way? Like it's not being very observant.
But I have learned definitely through like ways to kind of be a bit more assertive, you know, by being like, so what buses are you getting? Because I need to go out. So, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Like just being like not as welcoming. And I think I was always afraid of like, oh, will that affect my friendships? Like I want to be this like, you know, welcoming person and all that kind of stuff. And like the person who's there for you emotionally, you know. But then I was like, it actually definitely has benefited and strengthened all of my relationships with like creating boundaries for myself. And then I think when you have them for yourself, like when you are holding yourself accountable, that really helps. So say like if I, like with my sisters, like we with finances are really like straight, you know, like we'd never be doing each other dirty or whatever like that. We have Revolut. We're like, yeah, pay me that. Give me that 250. Yeah.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. And even with my mum. Say, my mum with finances, she's so generous.
Yeah.
And, you know, she can pay for stuff and she'll be like, if you can, pay me back, but don't. If you don't have to kind of thing. And, you know, I could take that as a, like, get out of jail free card. But since growing up and being like, I want to just be, you know, if I'm expecting a certain type of behavior, like, I have to be assertive to myself as well. We can't expect everyone to like, you know, mind our boundaries if we're not minding.
If you're not being reciprocal.
Yeah. So my mum will be like, now, look, it was that much, but you don't have to. And I'll just give it, you know, which is.
Well, it's holding yourself accountable in that sense of being like, if I want you to treat me like an adult, I have to act like a fucking adult. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't be still like a kiddie who's getting my mummy to let me off money. It's like no, it costs €400. I'll give you the €400.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just out of pocket.
I know. Yeah. And it's respecting like just my mom and her, and like you pay for shit, you know? And it's definitely instilled and strengthened all of my aspects of my life, being more assertive to myself and just not taking bullshit anymore from friends or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or friends of Ellis.
On that note, Shall we end this mother flipper?
Yes, queen. So we are going to be recording a saucy episode of X-Gals. We are going to be addressing the elephant in the room this Friday. So we'll see you then.
Bye, gals.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.